Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. We're going to continue right on where we left off on yesterday's broadcast, ministering a message, Only Believe, based on the story of the raising of Lazarus in John, the 11th chapter. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 27, but just preceding that, Jesus was making a comment to Martha. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And of course, Jesus was talking about eternal death. And so let's read verse 37 through 38. "She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." That's not directly answering what he asked, but she's affirming her faith. "And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. And then Jews, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, he obviously heard that, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. That groaning in himself, he was deeply moved. Now, did you ever think about why did Jesus weep? I've read in a lot of places that he was moved by compassion and of course, he was sharing all of our afflictions and all our infirmities. He was tested in all points as we are. We have a high priest who is not unmoved by the feeling of our infirmities. And obviously, he was surrounded by those who were deeply mourning the loss of this beloved man, Lazarus. And so, obviously, one aspect of his weeping was an identification with the sorrow that sickness and death brought upon mankind. However, the Jews' interpretation that, behold how he loved him, that he was crying because he loved him and he was taken in death, obviously that was not the correct interpretation, because when Jesus first heard the news, he knew exactly what the Father wanted him to do. He wasn't crying at the death or loss of Lazarus, obviously, because he was going to call him forth out of the grave in just a few moments' time. But another thought we might consider is that he was with beloved disciples. He was with Martha and Mary and his disciples, who had known him more intimately, more personally, more deeply, and understood him, hopefully, than any other person could have. I mean, the multitudes, those that came to hear him preach, they didn't have the first-hand knowledge of Jesus's, of the privilege of being with Jesus continually. He lived with them for 3 years. And so, another reason why he wept It said he was troubled, he groaned within him, is that those who should have known best were weeping. They had, I mean, he had raised the woman of Nain's son from death. Remember, they were carrying him, and he took the son by the hand and restored him to his mother because he was an only child. So they had seen Jesus raise the dead, but he was perhaps weeping because of their limited understanding of what he really came to do. And how often do we do that? We may cause Jesus to weep because he has done everything for us, everything that we could possibly need, everything that pertains to life and godliness. And do we cause him to weep because of our unbelief? We've known and walked in his blessings, and we understand in a much greater way than they did. They were yet to face his crucifixion and then the ultimate victory and triumph, that of his resurrection. We have all this in past history. We understand that. And I wonder how much I've caused him to weep, or you've caused him to weep, his church, that limits his power and his ability to move in our lives in very personal ways. Jesus had declared himself to be the resurrection and the life. And he asked Martha, "Believest thou this?" But obviously, that faith needs to be tested before it can be rewarded. And so, beloved, so many of the terrible, difficult things you've gone through in the past, or what you may be going through even now, such faith has to be tested. You have to go through the trial. You have to go through the testing. You have to go through the troubled times, the difficult places, before you can see the result and the reward of your faith. And so as we're going to go on now in these next few verses, several amazing things happen in these next few passages. And I'm starting to read now at verse 39. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days." And as we look at that verse 39, he's asking something that requires a lot of faith. She's saying, "Lord, we told you he was dead. And if we open this stone, if we open this grave, it's not going to be very pleasant." And what does he say? "If you believe, Martha, that your brother will rise again, and that I am the resurrection and the life, then roll away the stone." What's happening here? Again, that principle that James talks about, faith without works is dead. James said, "I will show you my faith by my works." And if we expect great things from God, then we will attempt great things for God. I'm not talking about presumption, but I'm talking about faith. The thing that seems impossible, those things that seem to have been dead in your life, do you believe God is able to bring them to life again? Those things that God showed you perhaps many years ago, but they've never been fulfilled. You've never seen the reality of them. Is our God not able to bring life to the things that have died in our lives? If there's anything that shows his miracle working power is raising literally someone physically from the dead. And yet he says, even these greater works you shall do. And of course, there are testimonies of people coming back from the dead. I know I've spoken with a woman who had just months to live, and she was totally healed of inoperable cancer. And the doctors just stood there in amazement. They didn't know what to say or do. And so, beloved, there's nothing impossible to our God. And we also see in verse 39 the language of doubt in human reasoning. Martha looked at the difficulty more than the promise. He just said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" And she's saying, "Yes, Lord, I do, but he's been dead 4 days." Don't we do that very same thing? Our eyes, our spiritual eyes, are so often on the dead more than the life-giving one. Yes, you might be absolutely correct. All doors are closed. Things are in the natural totally impossible. But is this not the reason why many of us fail to see the glory of the Lord's power? We're not looking at Jesus. Just like Peter, when he looked at Jesus, he walked on the water. That was an impossible thing. Gravity does not permit that. Our human bodies, we cannot walk on water, okay? But he did because he was looking at Jesus. Nothing shall be impossible to him that believes. So often we are looking more, I don't know about you, because human nature is the same. We're looking more at the giants in the land, just like ancient Israel, than at the arm of omnipotence. I mean, for David to strike down a giant, a Goliath, with a slingshot and a stone, come on now, that's a little over the edge, don't you think? We see, look at your own circumstances, unsaved family, unsaved friends, in the condition of spiritual death, or perhaps it could be critical physical illness, and we mourn their sad condition as hopeless because we have not fixed our eyes on him who is the resurrection and the life. And then what does Jesus say in verse 40? He saith unto her, to Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And I think that's the question God is asking us. If we will believe, will we not see the glory of God? Well, I've left us hanging at a cliffhanging experience. Of course, if you know the word, you know what happens next. But we'll have to wait to share that tomorrow because my time has come to a conclusion. And as always, if you are in that tight place, if you need the support of agreeing prayer, beloved, we all need it at times. We just need the prayers of our brothers and sisters. I invite you to write. The announcer will share our contact information. If you email, I promise I will always pray. I will confirm receipt. But if you would like a personal answer, and the letters I send out are not fundraising, even the monthly letters, I don't mention finances. My heart, my driving purpose is to see God's people built up in the faith and to experience the joy and the peace that God has promised in the abundant life he has given us. Well, having said that, the announcer will share that contact information under tomorrow. This is Sister Glass A. May God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.